What happens when the world falls in love with you, but you're not sure you love yourself yet? Jonathan Van Ness became America's grooming guru and hard-on-sleeve confidant through Netflix's Queer Eye reboot. But behind that infectious energy and those flowing locks lived a story most fans never imagined. This isn't a rags-to-riches fairy tale with a neat bow. It's something far more valuable, a roadmap through trauma, addiction, HIV diagnosis, and the messy, non-linear path toward genuine self-acceptance. What makes this memoir resonate isn't just its honesty about the darkest moments, but its insistence that healing doesn't mean erasing our past or presenting a polished version of ourselves. It means integrating every complicated, contradictory piece into something whole. We're not just one thing. Inside each of us lives a chorus of competing voices. The people pleaser who can't say no, the inner critic channeling disapproving relatives, the wounded child seeking validation, the ambitious hustler pushing forward. Jonathan discovered this truth through internal family systems therapy, which recognizes we develop different parts to navigate life's challenges. He describes his personality as a minivan with various aspects taking turns at the wheel. Growing up chubby and flamboyantly gay in Springfield, Illinois, Jonathan dreamed of Olympic ice skating glory despite zero skating ability. He joined a power tumbling troupe where straight rural boys called him fatso and mocked his curly hair. What he truly wanted was the grace and pageantry of women's gymnastics, the spotlight, the drama, the camaraderie of teammates who wouldn't ridicule him. In sixth grade, he choreographed an interpretive dance to Jules' Pieces of You for the talent show. His mother warned the kids would never let him live it down, revealing she knew about his bullying, but worried about their family's reputation. Understanding these different parts and learning they all deserve compassion rather than shame became the foundation of Jonathan's healing journey. Jonathan's deepest wound came when he confided childhood sexual abuse to his mother's therapist, Dimitri. Despite promises of confidentiality, Dimitri reported it, triggering an investigation. Forced to choose between participating publicly or protecting his family's privacy, Jonathan chose silence, repeating, "I choose not to participate because it would be detrimental to my mental health." This betrayal launched 9 years of self-destruction. His teenage heart belonged to Fyodor, a gorgeous swimmer who maintained he wasn't gay despite their intimate relationship. They'd undress together, run through cornfields in underwear, even masturbate side by side, yet clung to the fiction of Fyodor's straightness. When rumors spread, Fyodor abandoned him completely, leaving Jonathan feeling too fat, too femme, fundamentally unlovable. With nothing left to lose, Jonathan sought older men online, landing in dingy apartments and encounters that tore pieces of his soul away. His days split between trampoline sessions and violin practice, AOL chat rooms, and binge eating. This double life taught him how much pain he could numb and endure, a dangerous lesson that would haunt his adulthood. Jonathan rushed through graduation to join the University of Arizona cheer squad. College spiraled. He skipped classes for Golden Girls reruns, was evicted for marijuana possession, and finished with a 1.7 GPA after getting caught cheating. Needing drug money, he turned to escorting. Reality hit when a client pulled a gun at a meth house, forcing him to dive through a window screen. He called his mom in tears, confessing everything. She sent money for him to return home with his rescued kitten Bug. Jonathan enrolled at Minneapolis's Aveda Institute, discovering his passion for hair and natural ingredients. After graduation, he styled fake blondes, fake boobs, and $20,000 millionaires in Scottsdale. Every Friday, he'd drive hours to style his cancer-surviving grandmother's hair for $8.50. When she died on his 22nd birthday, he realized she had chosen the day he entered the world to begin her next journey. The 2008 recession devastated Phoenix. With clients committing suicide and his appointment book empty, Jonathan moved to Los Angeles, landing a prestigious salon job assisting superstar stylists. He learned to be seen and not heard while blow-drying celebrities like Jane Fonda, who called him Jesus for his long hair. His career flourished, but unprocessed trauma kept driving destructive patterns. Jonathan's first love, Sergey, was the first person unashamed of him, holding his hand in public and taking him to the Getty on their first date. But communication gaps and Sergey's demanding schedule created fractures. Unprocessed trauma led Jonathan to cheat during a 5-day bathhouse bender. With family support, he entered Tennessee rehab while his stepdad, Steve, battled terminal cancer. After treatment, they reconciled. But when Sergey skipped his salon Christmas party for work, Jonathan cheated again, then tried meth for the first time. After a second rehab stint, they moved to St. Louis as Steve's condition worsened. When Steve died, something broke inside Jonathan. He spiraled into destructive behavior, seeking anonymous encounters and drugs. Eventually, Sergey and Jonathan's mother arranged his return to Los Angeles, ending their relationship. Physically ill and emotionally devastated, Jonathan collapsed while doing a client's hair. The next day at Planned Parenthood, his HIV test came back positive. His doctor reassured him, modern treatment made it manageable. Within 2 weeks of medication, his viral load became undetectable, meaning he couldn't transmit the virus sexually. Jonathan now educates others that undetectable equals untransmittable, a CDC-confirmed fact. His diagnosis ultimately helped him learn to love himself more deeply than ever before. After hitting rock bottom in St. Louis, Jonathan convinced his uncle to release $5,500 from his grandfather's trust fund, his last chance. He drove west to a tiny $800 West LA studio and quickly rebuilt his clientele at a Venice salon. One of his first calls was to Aaron Gibson, a former client he'd abandoned when fleeing to St. Louis. During their reunion, Jonathan bravely revealed his methamphetamine addiction and HIV diagnosis. Her warmth and acceptance left him completely wigless. While doing her hair, he overheard a Game of Thrones conversation and launched into an impromptu, wildly inaccurate but hilarious recap. Aaron, a producer and comedian, immediately recognized his talent and proposed creating a recap series for Funny or Die. Within 4 months, they developed Gay of Thrones, Jonathan's unexpected breakthrough. He signed with a manager and began auditioning, though frequently typecast in gay best friend roles. When his first major opportunity collapsed, he channeled his curiosity into creating the Getting Curious podcast. After firing his skeptical manager, Jonathan's former rep reached out about casting for the Queer Eye reboot, the moment he finally realized what others had seen all along. Jonathan arrived at his Queer Eye audition straight from work, covered in hair clippings despite his best lint roller efforts. With his low-slung bun, flowing clothes, and characteristic beard, he was certain they'd prefer someone more conventionally masculine. But remembering you miss 100% of the chances you don't take, he showed up anyway. When asked why he was right for the role, Jonathan drew from personal experience. The original Queer Eye had helped him navigate difficult conversations with his conservative Midwestern family. He shared his philosophy that true beauty comes from self-acceptance rather than conforming to metrosexual standards. Success brought opportunities beyond his dreams, but also new pressures. People think they know him from edited footage, but beneath the public persona, he's still a person with insecurities. He shares his journey because we're never too broken to heal. The key is learning to parent yourself with compassion and become your own cheerleader. Your past doesn't disqualify you from love or success. It's the raw material for your gorgeous recovery. The world doesn't need another polished version of someone else. It needs the messy, beautifully human version of you.